For this feast of the holy name of Jesus, the epistle is taken from Acts chapter 4. In those days, Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, "Ye princes of the people and the ancients, hear. If we this day are examined concerning the good deed done to the infirm man, by what means he hath been made whole, to be it known to you all and to all people of Israel, that by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who you crucified, whom God hath raised from the dead, even by him this man standeth here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given to men whereby he must be saved." The gospel is taken from Luke chapter 2. At that time, after 8 days were accomplished that the child should be circumcised, his name was called Jesus, which was called by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of Jesus, let every knee bow. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the introit of today, as in every Mass, the introit gives the title. It gives the program of the Mass. And today we have those words, "In the name of Jesus, let every knee bow." So we have for us today the expression of a great respect which we owe to the names of our Lord Jesus Christ, not just the name of Jesus, but we may say every name referring to our Lord, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, that is God, Christ, Jesus. So we see this great importance and this respect that is necessary for us to understand in relation to thought, word, and action. Those are the three ways which we can perform virtue, but also the three ways we can sin. So we want to respect our Lord in all his names, in thought, word, and action. But we will consider this morning that of word, that of speech. For in St. James' epistle he says, "If any man offend not in word, that same man is perfect." If we but not offend our Lord in word, we are perfect creatures. How many sins are given by the tongue? So if we but try to perfect ourselves in this manner, we will see the great virtue we can attain. So because of this importance of respect to God's names, and because the sins of the tongue are so prevalent today, it is an important occasion for us to consider this topic. The tongue is very powerful. It can go from either extreme. For the first being that by the tongue, the words of consecration bring down our Lord Jesus Christ on the altar. The priest has to vocalize those words for our Lord to come down on the altar. What a great power is given to that organ, the tongue. But then we go to the other extreme and we see that the tongue can damn a soul to hell. It has been revealed to a certain saint in the past that a 4-year-old child was in hell because of the sin of blasphemy. So again, we see that great importance of the tongue, the great power that it is given, but how much emphasis we must put on that organ so that we can attain the perfection of our soul. And then respect that we have to consider. We have the names of our Lord Jesus Christ given to us in the liturgy. We see the actions following the words. And St. Pius X says that the liturgy, all the different ceremonies coming together, is the form of our education as Catholics. So let us take his word as the last sainted pope that we have in the Church and see where we can find our education in this liturgy. We see at the pronouncement of any name of Jesus, the priest bows to the altar. You can see in the introit today, many times the priest had to bow to the altar because of that name of Jesus. But then we consider the name of Christ and the name of God. They're often mentioned, however, the priest does not have to bow at those names. So there's a special quality given to that name of Jesus, as expressed in the liturgy itself. There's something specific to refer to our Lord as Jesus, the Savior, the life that we are given through him. So we can take an analogy to illustrate this for us. It is the sanctuary. We have the altar in the general structure. This is to emphasize for us the name of God, strength, majesty. Then we have the mensa, the table, upon which our Lord is present after the consecration. This, accompanying the altar stone, is what we may say refers to Christ, because Christ means the anointed one. And what is the altar is that which is anointed by the oil at the time of consecration by the bishop. It is that specific part of the altar which is anointed. Therefore, refers to Christ, the anointed one. Lastly, we have the tabernacle, the focal point of the whole altar, wherein lies the hosts, the bread of life. And that we may see refers to Jesus. Again, we have all these names, the whole structure before our eyes. They mean one thing to us as a whole, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. However, each aspect of the altar has a specific quality. And so that is why we see if we refer to Jesus as the tabernacle, as the hosts, we understand why there's a greater importance given to it in the liturgy, wherein we bow at every name of that word. So what respect we must pay to the altar, to the physical reality, but how often do we respect that hidden reality of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ? So therein we find the sins against this name that are often done without notice, which do incomparable damage to the soul. We see this expressed in Exodus in the Old Testament, wherein we see, "Let not thy mouth be accustomed to swearing, for in it there are many falls." Again, we see a general term of swearing that is general. And the Bible says that in that, many falls are contained, many sins. But then we go to the particular swearing, that of blasphemy, wherein again we can see many falls, three particular ones. That is disrespect, which is very apparent. Then we see the bad example that it gives. And lastly, the scandal. So these three effects of the one cause of blasphemy are so detrimental to our soul, how much we should try to ward off any even slip of the tongue in that manner. And again, we can go back to the analogy we have made with the altar in comparison with respect and the sin. If we said that Jesus is the host, if we use our Lord's name in vain, it is as if we were to throw the host on the ground. And if we consider that for ourselves for a moment, none of us would do that. We are all shocked at the sacrileges that are attained by people throwing hosts on the ground. But in this supernatural way, in the spiritual reality, we are doing the same thing if we use the Lord's name in vain. But then with respect, if we receive the host on the tongue, we use the word of our Lord properly. That is how we respect his name. So for our practice, let us keep this image in mind. Something very beautiful, the sanctuary itself. In that you have the names of our Lord. And if we have that image in mind, how many sins we would avoid, considering that the sin of blasphemy is compared to throwing our Lord on the ground. So let us consider with St. Paul in the epistle today, where he says that we have the name of the cross. We have Jesus as our banner, the one in which we will follow to heaven. The cross is above the tabernacle. On the top of the cross, you have that inscription, I-N-R-I, which means Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. So we see the connection between the name of our Lord and the cross. The name of our Lord is on the cross. It is written there for us to see. We know St. Paul compares often that our salvation is in the cross. Therefore, our salvation is in the name of Jesus. So let us try to have a great respect for this name, defend the name at all costs, because it is our trophy. It is connected with the cross. You cannot separate the two. How often we have that physical reality in front of us and we do not offend that. The cross, the altar. But there is a hidden reality in every physical realm, and that is that name of our Lord, which passes by our lips so often, but in vain, in disrespect, in detriment to our soul. So let us adore the name of Christ as we do the cross on Good Friday. We come and genuflect three times before the cross because it is our salvation. The same thing with the name of Jesus. Let us go to the Blessed Virgin Mary, in which we have that prayer, the angelic salutation, the Hail Mary, in which we say every time, "Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus." That prayer, the Hail Mary, as we said the last Sunday, the last feast, we invoke her at every time we say it, Hail Mary. And that puts the devil to flight in itself. But every time we say the Hail Mary, we also say, "Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus." Let us try to keep this in mind. Let us try to pray well, understand what we say. Because if we only understood what we said, we would be perfect, as St. James says. So form this respect now in your souls, so that you can, with joy, find your name inscripted in the Book of Life under that name of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.